How is that different what Donald Sterling did? What was so different that Donald Sterling did that you looked at him and you made him sell the team? And, you know, even with him, he got a slap on the wrist because he bought the team for $17 million and sold it for $2 billion. And they told him never to come to the game again. I'm like,
and he came up on some. Yeah, he sold. Yeah.
OK, I get that. But yeah, you still look at this as a governor of a team. And where in the world do you think you can use the word nigga in your office? But I mean, where does that come? What kind of balls do you have?
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
All right, it's another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I am Josue Pavone, along with Cedric Maxwell, still down in Charlotte, enjoying what the remaining weeks you got left before training camp starts, all that. I mean, it's going to come up soon. I know, Max. I'm sure you're counting the days. I'm sure you're slashing your calendar as the days go by. We got plenty of headlines to go through, Max. But first things first, man, we're going to talk about your headline, Mr. Hall of Fame, UNC Charlotte Hall of Famer, Cedric Maxwell. We'll get into the other stuff later, but first thing first, man. How was last weekend? Tell me about the ceremony. Tell me how the day went. How was it, man?
This summer has been really incredible. You know, it's good to be Cedric Maxwell.
Absolutely. Congrats, man. Congrats, yeah, man. Seriously, man.
Well, this summer early on, my fraternity, Omega Psi Phi, put me in their Athletic Hall of Fame, along with Ozzie Newsome. So that was really cool. That started out the summer once I got to Charlotte. And then UNC Charlotte followed it up a couple of days ago by having their first annual Hall of Fame, their first Hall of Fame inductees ever. And I went in with Lee Rose and several other guys who, you know, I don't know as much about them. I think there was a guy named Bush who was there, who was a professional goalie. I think it was with Chicago. There was a golfer. There were some more people. But your boy was the headline at the very end. You know, they have everybody coming in and you're speaking. And I was the last person. So it made me feel really good. A little late, considering, you know, my last basketball game I played was in 1977. Josue wasn't even around then.
I wasn't even thought of. Lord knows. Yeah, so
they retired my jersey. Immediately in school. But then the Hall of Fame thing just happened this year. And it was bittersweet because Lee Rose, my former coach, passed away before he could get his flower. So it was a remarkable day of seeing some of my old teammates, them being there for me, speaking on the old times, looking at a university which I don't even recognize. When I was there, there was about about 8,000 students, and only 3,000 lived on campus. Now I think there are over 30,000 students to go to the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. So it was really a good day, very good day.
I bet. Well, it's the first annual, right? It's the first class of Hall of Famers. So they definitely didn't forget about you, for sure.
Yeah.
How was the speech? How'd that go?
You know me. I knocked it down. Knocked it out the park. It was
plenty of laughs, I bet. Things.
There was a young lady who was on before me. She was a runner. And she talked about when she was in school, she talked about, oh, my goodness, there was a song out, and that was about Outkast. And I was like, wait a minute, when is Outkast? When was that? That's your era right there. So when was that, Joe? So 2000 what? 2010?
No, this is probably late 90s or early 2000s. The last album was in like 03, 04.
Well, whatever it was, she was talking about Outkast. Well, I get on and I say, well,
that is my era, though.
I said the song going on during my time was "Let's Get It On," and that was by Marvin Gaye in 1973. Once I got to school there, so I talked a little bit about the school, my relationships, And, you know, any relationship you have, any event or anything that you gain, you have a tribe. And I had all my, the people who were there, I had a bunch of them, with some family members and, you know, people were there, and we had a really good time. So it was a great day. The next day I was supposed to be honorary captain at the football game. UNC Charlotte was playing Maryland, and it poured down in buckets. So I passed out on the field and all that stuff, but it was just a good day Friday.
I bet, Max. Congrats, man. Congrats. Give me a college story. I know you've told a couple on this podcast, but man, it's been a while. Give me something that you some memorable moments that went through your mind when you were back on your own stomping grounds.
Well, I think one of the things that went through my mind was just how big the university is. But also the story came to me when we were going back to the dorms one night, and the cafeteria is in line. You had to go by the dorms. Go towards the cafeteria, going to the dorms, and on the back steps of the campus, and on at the cafeteria, there was a 50-pound box of bacon, and your boy happened to be Quick Hands Louie, and for the next
right
week,
at the right time, I bet.
For the next week, all you could smell was bacon. Essentially, people came to my room with bread in their hands. You know, it was just bacon, bacon, bacon. And you know how bacon smells. Bacon has this wonderful, such a strong aroma. Well, that stayed in my room for probably about a week before all that bacon was gone. Fast forward, maybe it was about 20 years later, I was speaking at the university, and I told them that I am leaving $100 right now on this podium for my Quick Hand Louie of the bacon. And somebody ended up writing it up.
You finally paid them back.
It turned out it was about $100 in time now with the bacon, which was gone. So that was a funny story about, you know, just being mischief, having mischief at the university and having a bunch of fun.
That's funny, man. Yeah, you told me that story before, but that's you came full circle with it now. That's funny. You finally paid them back.
Full circle.
Man, I'm glad you had a great weekend, man. For sure, you deserve it, man. You do.
Absolutely. Well,
those text messages and everything, giving you your flowers, man. I'm glad you had a good time with your family.
Well, you know, it's really crazy because when the Omegas when they put me in the Hall of Fame, they had a bunch of the fraternities which spoke, and the Kappa spoke, one of our arch rivals, and the leader of the Kappas happens to be Jason Tatum's grandfather. And he got up and spoke, and we talked, and he laughed, and I said,
"What?"
Yeah, that's yeah. And so Jason Tatum's grandfather is the head dog of Kappa Alpha Psi. So it was kind of funny to be there with him. So a bunch of things happened. Wow. I talked to Ozzie Newsome about exactly what was going to happen in Baltimore. You know, were they going to pay that young man, you know, that big money and give him that huge? He said he'll get about $250 million. And essentially, that's where it stopped at right now. And he stopped negotiations. So it was kind of cool to see, you know, get a little peek of what was going to happen in the NFL.
Absolutely, man. You got to share that story with Tatum. I'm sure he doesn't know. That's crazy.
Now I am sure that he will share it with me once we get back and I see him again.
Yeah, you guys got to catch up. That's coming up soon. It's coming up soon for sure. We got some Celtics news on the schedule for sure. But let's start off with the big headline of the week, and that's what's going on in Phoenix with the Suns organization. Man, yeah, exactly, Max. You said it. I think that's a great response to it.
What the hell was this man thinking about?
Is that pun intended? The Suns? Is that pun intended? Mercury?
What the hell? I mean, this is in this day and time.
Yeah. Let's just talk about it first. Okay, but first is the year suspension, right? The $10 million fine. Okay, so obviously a lot of people, I mean, this is for, okay, slap on the wrist for making racist comments. There was five instances where he was, I want to say, quoting someone of color, and he owned up to it. And he also made some misogynistic remarks as well to women within the organization. So that's the report. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so So how is that different what Donald Sterling did? What was so different that Donald Sterling did that you looked at him and you made him sell the team? And, you know, even with him, he got a slap on the wrist because he bought the team for $17 million and sold it for $2 billion. And they told him never to come to the game again. I'm like,
and he came up on some. He sold. Yeah.
Okay. I get that. But you still look at this, that's a governor of a team. And where in the world do you think you can use the word nigga in your office? Well, I mean, where does that come? What kind of balls do you have? I mean, if you think about in today's world with telephones and people responding, you just can't do that. Yeah. And for the NBA to, I mean, I keep hearing the Players Association talk about, well, they want him fired. And there's going to be a big push towards that. Yeah.
There's been backlash.
And Adam Silver, you know, has always been pro player. He's been so strong. You know, you look what happened when he first took the reins. What fell into his lap was the Donald Sterling situation. And what did he do? He went full bore. You're no longer going to be in the NBA. You're going to have to sell your franchise. So I'm not sure what the difference is between, and obviously I don't know all the details, but what's the difference right now between Donald Sterling and what's the difference right now of the governor of one of the governors of the Phoenix Suns using such language to his players and not players, excuse me, to the people in his office.
Right. Well, I think two of the biggest points to take away from the Adam Silver press conference was he compared it. He compared it to what happened with the Clippers owner, right? Because that's what everyone is naturally doing. And the biggest, the two biggest differences, one, it was on tape. And two, he took ownership. You know, whereas Donald Sterling did it. Donald Sterling denied everything up until the recordings came through. And of course, Silver mentioned how he can't mention everything that he knows about the investigation. He can't share everything that he knows. But those are the two outlining points I took away from that press conference.
So
and that was
so
sort of the way I looked into it going in.
Let me get this. So
I don't think he survives the suspension, Max. I don't. That's the caveat.
Yeah. So he told the truth about what he said. And therefore, we're going to give him a pass. Kind of crazy. Obviously, he's the commissioner, and he makes, you know, but the NBA is all, is, what we say, 85% black, what we say is their players. So for you to use that kind of language in your office, I remember Charles Barkley said, if he was said anything, you know, Charles Barkley, I quote, said, I would have knocked his ass out. This is Charles Barkley talking about, and he said that he's really been good to him and his family. He said he's been good to him and his family, but you know, if he had heard that, he would have said, I would have went ballistic. So it's just kind of crazy to see the organization. And just as big to have a guy like all the guys who are there. CP is there, isn't he? Isn't he the head of the Players Association?
Yeah, it's the second time he's dealing with this.
Chris Paul.
He's dealing with this with the Clippers organization.
Yeah, Chris Paul is dealing with this yet again. Is this following him around? So kind of bizarre, I would say.
It is. It is bizarre, Max. And I can't help but wonder if this is like sort of a, in some sick way, his power moves, right? I mean, to drop that word just to sort of show you or show the team or show whoever he's talking to that he can drop that. I mean, that's just not acceptable. It's not acceptable today. It wasn't acceptable 10 years ago. And the NBA shouldn't tolerate it. It just doesn't send – it sends a poor message, Max. It really does send a poor message from the NBA. But at the same time, again, like I said, I don't think he survives this. I think he's forced to sell. And there's already backlash. I mean, their main sponsor, PayPal, the guys that put that – well, guess what? Their contract is up. And they already issued a statement saying that, look, we're not going to continue to sponsor this team if that man is still in that position. You know, if he's not taken away, we don't care. We don't give a damn about the suspension. All right. If that man still has a job with you guys, we don't want our logo on your jerseys anymore. So there's the first shoe to fall. Right. You also have another owner for the Phoenix Suns speaking out on it. This isn't the first time he's spoken out on this. And his name is John Najarfi. He's the private equity investor. And he's already issued a statement. and saying, look, he doesn't want to move forward as well if this guy's going to still hold that position, you know? And I cannot in good judgment sit back and allow our children and future generation of fans to think that this behavior is tolerated because of wealth and privilege. I think he nailed it right there, Max. I think he said it right there. So, there's a lot of backlash.
If you have a governor of a team speaking that way, it's a lot more power in that than even the player. Because now you have one of their own turning around and cannibalizing, you know, this guy for what he did. So, man, kudos to that governor standing up in that way at that organization for what happened.
When you're drafting your fantasy team, do you ever wish you could do the same thing with your business team? If you're building a roster to win the league, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you could do it all with Indeed. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. Hate waiting? Indeed U.S. data shows that over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match their job description the moment they sponsor a job. One of the things that separates Indeed from the rest is their Instant Match feature. Candidates you invite to apply through Instant Match are 3 times more likely to apply to your job than candidates who only see it in search, according to U.S. Indeed data. With Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description, and you can invite them to apply right away. Indeed does the hard work for you. Sponsor a job, and then boom, Instant Match shows you candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description immediately after you post. With Instant Match, you can start hiring fast. Join over 3 million businesses worldwide using Indeed to hire great talent fast. Indeed knows that you're doing everything for your company. You can't afford to overspend on hiring. Visit Indeed.com/Maxwell to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/Maxwell. Indeed.com/Maxwell. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application. Pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Absolutely. And he also owns the WNBA team, you know, and he's been in this position for a long time. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens if he sells, if he's forced out, if there's a whole nother side of this thing. I mean, I can't help but wonder if this is the very beginning, and that we're going to see a whole lot of episodes throughout this saga.
It's real funny. I'm looking at my view and I see this patch, a real whitish patch on my roof up here. Well, let me explain what happened so people won't say anything. When they were moving furniture into my house, they knocked a hole in the roof, and that was being repatched. So that's why you have the white sandpaper up there, and they're about to paint it tomorrow. So you guys know how you notice everything. I make sure I put that out there.
I wouldn't even have noticed that unless you pointed it out. I'm sure someone did though.
Joe Sway, people notice everything. It's not a first. They always notice everything. They probably notice looking at my temperature gauge saying, well, what does he have his temperature on? Well, right now it says 75. So I'm in a part of my house.
Someone zoomed in on that right now.
Good times here in Charlotte. Good times.
All right. The other headline that we got to talk about, man, is one of the Celtics governors describing this team, using the word overrated going into the regular season. That's Whit Grosbeck. Yeah, you're surprised by that, huh?
Whoa.
Wick, I got a quote for you right here. This is from Wick talking about the Celtics. Now, I think that we've now been overrated. I think that performance was a bit overrated in the public mind or my own mind because I'm the one saying it. We were finalists. We were 2 wins away from winning it. But when you look back, Brooklyn was a tough series, and then we had to go 7 games against the Bucks and the Heat, and then we lost to the Golden State Warriors. So we're not a hands-down team to repeat as Eastern Conference champs, but I think that we're a quality team. I think he's spitting facts there. Some of it. I don't know the Brooklyn.
This is, I think, smart with Wick, because I think he's trying to understate it, because the Celtics are going to be the hunted team all year long. So exactly. For you to go out and say, oh my God, we're expecting to win the championship, then you're putting more pressure on your players. You're putting more pressure on your organization. And what you do is say, look, we had some points where we got a little lucky last year. And we made some moves. We won it, and we came close to winning it all. And I don't want people saying right now the Celtics are the favorite. because you look at this right. young team and you look at some injuries and you look at some of the things that could happen. You have to say the Celtics, in a way, were lucky with some of the things that happened. But I like what he's saying. This is a good quality team. Right. Now you let the chips fall where they may. But for people just to say championship or bust, I think that's what he's trying to say. He's trying to get away from that side. So I don't mind him saying that with this particular team.
I don't either. I think you nailed it too there, Max, because at the end of the day, it wasn't easy for this team to get there, you know? Yeah, he pointed out that out of the three series leading up to the Golden State Warriors in the finals matchup, they were battle-tested. You know, Game 7's against – the only thing I don't agree with is the Brooklyn part, but Game 7 against the Heat, Game 7 against the Milwaukee Bucks, a Milwaukee Bucks team that was without their all-star Chris Middleton now. You can't sleep on Middleton's impact, not only on the offensive end of the floor, but he would have got you a handful of stops on the defensive side of things. So how do you think the Milwaukee Bucks are looking at this upcoming season? They're like, man, give us that series again, and we'll beat those guys for sure. You know Giannis is thinking that. You know, this is a championship team. They've been there before. And that's just one of the teams that I think are going to be one of the toughest matchups for the Celtics. That is,
but that's about injuries. Season is about injuries, about people who overcome. And the Celtics were able to overcome. When this team was, what were they, one game under 500 at some point early in the year, and then all of a sudden started to Zoom, win basketball games. The Ime Udoka effect, I think, has been brilliant. We'll see what happens with some of the new additions. I think it's going to be a very good year, but I think that what Wick, and I think anybody who's a Southern fan, here's what you'll say. You are cautiously optimistic about what this team can do. And that's where you go with it. You look at this team and you think and you look at them and say, this team has it to win a championship. But at the same time, you understand there's a very fine line between getting there and then getting there again.
It's not always guaranteed. I mean, look at the last couple of Final Fours, teams that have been there. The following year, they didn't get right back then, right? You know, and it wasn't easy. Every team goes through their trials and tribulations. Not to mention the fact that the Celtics got out to such a slow start, and they had to get used to Ime and all that stuff. But let me ask you this then: what are the teams that, in your mind, the teams in the Eastern Conference that would give the Celtics the biggest fist this year? Just on paper, obviously. Mine's the Bucks. That's my number one team.
Right the now. Bucks would. Bucks would. The Bucks would. They're going to. I'm saying teams are going to surprise people. They have people, and I still believe the Celtics might be better. But Cleveland is not going to be a pushover, man. This team, you got.
Hey, still, man.
The spider. The spider. Coming in, Danny Ainge giving the spider away.
Hey, you love that nickname. Come on, be honest. You love it. You love that nickname.
Man, he is a dominant force. And you're putting him into a team that, again, he's surrounded by very talented shooters, and you're going to give him opportunities to kind of just grow with this young team. I like what they have. I don't think they're as good as the Celtics. Let me see who else. I would say, can Brooklyn get it together? I mean, how is Philly? Philly is kind of armed for, they said what we're going to do is take a – James Harden said, I'm gonna take a salary drop for us, for him to get $50 million or $40 million, okay, whatever that salary drop.
Well, hold on. But before we talk about Philly, though, can we talk about this hot take from Stephen A. Smith, ESPN Stephen A. Smith? He's already calling Kyrie Irving one of his favorites to win MVP this season. It's a contract year. He's got a whole lot to prove. What do you think about that?
That's a possibility. I mean, Kyrie is. Kyrie is playing for – he's playing
that
for
would, that would surprise
now, with Durant being there, can he have that kind of season?
That's what I mean. He'd have to overshadow KD. I don't know.
Can he overshadow KD? I don't
know. That'd be impressive.
So I think that Kyrie is going to have a real good season because – and he's going to be on his best behavior because he's looking to get that big payday. He was a lock to get one of these $200 million contracts. And all of a sudden now he got a 1-year deal. And look, let's see what you can do. So, yeah, This is going it'll be a test right now for Kyrie Irving and who he is.
This episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Football is back, and BetOnline is your number one source for all your football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all of the latest football odds, news, and game matchups, including this year's opening week's games. BetOnline is your continued source for all your wagering information, including live betting, free concerts, and live scores. Always the fastest and easiest to bet on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. Use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. It's BetOnline, where the game starts.
You know, speaking of guys who would be eligible for a max deal like that, over $200 million, what about Jaylen Brown? I mean, he still has that stipulation in his contract. If he's to make an all-NBA team, that would be on the table in the conversation of the Celtics re-signing him. So that's interesting. I mean, look, I'm not saying it's impossible. It wouldn't shock me if Jaylen Brown had the best season of his career and made an all-NBA team and really pushed this team to a whole new level, because that's essentially what would happen with him alongside Jason Tatum, one of the best scorers in the NBA.
I think that is a very good possibility of what he can do. He could have a dramatic year. And think about where people put him in the contract thing. Yeah, it could be fun for him.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, for Wick to go out and say this, I think it sends the right message. And shout out to Boston Globe's Adam Himmelsbach, who had the interview with him. I think it sends the right message. Like you said, now you're the hunted, you know? That wasn't necessarily the Celtics' identity up until they reached the postseason. I mean, let's face it. They went on that tremendous stride and went in hot. You know, that's not going to be the case this year, or it's going to be harder to do something like that.
Look, just wait. Nobody looked at this team. Nobody looked at this team last year as a championship team. You look at this team, a team was very good and could be very good. But once they start winning, like most Boston sports teams, once they start winning, everybody wanted to be there. Now, I want to push on because I got to get to this last story that you're talking about, Little Mermaid. I'm like, what?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Okay. You go ahead and set it up so we can finish this thing on a roll here.
All right. Let's do it. So, all right. So we're going through headlines going into this show. I was like, you know what? Let's throw in the other headline that's been going on all over social media. And that's the backlash about the new Little Mermaid movie that's coming out featuring Halle Bailey, who's getting backlash for essentially being a black Ariel. Let's keep it 100, right? I mean, she's got red hair. She just doesn't share the same complexion as the classic Ariel, all right?
Joe Sway, has anybody ever seen and tell me what a mermaid looks like? Has anybody seen one? Let's just stop right there. Is a mermaid? Give me the first person who's seen one, and then we can go from there. So
it's
your imagination. So let's get off that shit about, you know, hey, she's black, she's white, she's look. You know what? What she's done is she's allowed a bunch of young black women. And I just have, I'm going to have three granddaughters in October, by the end of October. And I love the fact that they're able to connect in that way. And if you see a video of some young black girls looking at this video and seeing Ariel come on and her skin being dark, they just go ballistic. So, you know, dudes, let's keep it real. This is a new time, a new day, a new age. And embrace what possibilities can be. And if you're a hater, don't be a hater over there. Be a congratulator. Don't worry. This is fictional stuff. This is stuff of your imagination. So for you to go out and go, oh my God, Ariel, she's supposed to be white. Really? That's the same thing we say about Jesus, though. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody.
Yep.
Hair.
I knew you'd keep it up.
Wait a minute. Just wait. His hair was a wool and kinky. Just wait. What's that hair on your head?
Wait, hold on. Wait. Would it just being in that area of the world, is skin going to be that light? I don't know, man.
So with that, we're going to say we're going to keep it on 100. We appreciate you guys coming on with us. I got some big news coming up here this week, probably for our next podcast. I might be able to get, I'm gonna tease you a little bit. I might have a round table with Dale Curry, Muggsy Bogues, and possibly Sleepy Floyd. So, stay tuned. We're going to keep it online. You guys enjoy it, okay?
Like we always do. Cedric Maxwell Podcast. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace out.